pray together? Lord Jesus, we do honor you, praise you, lift you up for who you are, and Lord, even who and what you are in our own lives. We love you. We need you. We want to look to you even as we come to your word in these moments. Speak to our hearts. Lord, may we focus on you and see you, be drawn to you. May you be glorified and honored in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So good to see you this morning. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. We'll be looking particularly this morning and primarily at verses 9 through 11. We're going to read beginning with verse 1 in just a moment. I shared last week that we would begin a new series today, focusing on the crucial, critical, wonderful things of Jesus. In fact, I guess I would title this series, Major Moments in the Life of Jesus. And today we're beginning to look at the baptism of Jesus. And I wonder if we think that's so important. Appreciate and value baptism in our own experience. I doubt that we think a whole lot about the fact that Jesus was baptized. We know it. But do we understand and appreciate the value of that? What is the baptism of Jesus all about? And we're going to look at that beginning in just a moment. But as I said last week, out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, throughout this series, we want to focus on Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Or as the Apostle said, looking unto Jesus and considering him. We want to see Jesus in these weeks. We always study the Word of God. I trust God can always speak through that. But I think there's special about focusing on the life of Jesus. So I hope we're drawn to him. I hope we understand and appreciate him more than ever before. Even as we see this experience in his life, the baptism of Jesus. I'm going to read from Mark 1, verse 1 through verse 11. Then we're going to see a brief video. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around the waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you get it? Give up? Almost there? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination and think about the baptism of Jesus. I'm sure you've seen some of these scenes in movies before. But I want us to look today at the baptism of Jesus. And we're going to begin by just looking at the baptizing ministry of John the Baptist and just summarize a little bit of what it was all about. It had something special for the Jews. Jesus, being Lord, yet was baptized by John the Baptist. John came along to prepare the way, to straighten out the roads as such. In Old Testament times, If a special person, an emissary, a king was coming to visit a village, they would go ahead and make sure the curves were straightened out to make it as convenient as possible, to fill the potholes, to do everything that they could do to make the entrance by the royal one to be a very special thing. John's ministry was to prepare Israel to receive the Messiah, that is, spiritually. I guess politically in some ways, perhaps, certainly that was their mindset, but more to prepare them spiritually, for them to come back to God. I really believe the baptism of Israel was more of a revival experience. It was more of a repentance. It was more of returning to God. Israel even is the ones who are being baptized here. It was commonplace for those who are coming out of Gentile nations to be baptized to come into Israel. But it was very rare, in fact, I don't believe it was ever done before, John's ministry, that the Israelites themselves, the Jewish people, were baptized. This was an unprecedented thing. It was a very special thing. It was a humbling thing. It was a very special way for them to say, we recognize our God. We love our God. We want to come back to our God. We want to be spiritually right to receive our Messiah. And the expectancy of the Messiah was high at that time. And when they responded to John's ministry of baptism, they were receiving the Lord as the Lord of their life. It was a one-time break from their formal life to diligently seek and follow God. Now, in most cases, by when it was all said and done, it didn't work. John says that Jesus came to his own received him not. More and more in the New Testament time, Jews were less saved and Gentiles were more saved, and they really didn't embrace Jesus as their Messiah. They didn't begin with. They were overwhelmed by the miracles and the wonderful things that Jesus did. But when it really got down to dying to self and following him, they weren't too interested in that. So the baptism meant something special for the Jews. It really was a commitment to God as God in their life. It also has something to say about justice or repentance. Again, in the Israelite experience, there were some rituals for purification. And John kind of adopted one of those and expanded it and brought it into this thing of being baptized, and even as the Jewish people. It was, again, usually only for the Gentiles. But for them to embrace it and observe it and participate in it, it was a humbling, submissive thing to the will of God in their life. And it meant something special for Jesus. It was to set him up, to introduce him, get him started, establish him as the Messiah. It marks the inauguration of his public ministry. Why, if I may ask, was Jesus baptized? I hit at it already just a little bit, but we know why we're baptized. It is a symbol of our repentance, our returning to God, our coming to God, embracing him as Savior and Lord, giving our life over to him, repenting from sin, turning away from an old life, and embracing a new life. But that doesn't apply to Jesus. He had no sin to repent from. He had no life to go away from. He was always in the will of God. So why was Jesus baptized? It was an initial act of obedience to announce his public ministry. I'll put some words in your outline in your bulletin. An initial act of obedience to announce his public ministry. It was a life of service to do God's will. It was Jesus' way of saying, I am here. And I am here to do the will of the Lord. I am here to fulfill my mission. I am here to honor God. I am here to fulfill my purpose and work. And even before his reading and identifying himself in the temple, where he read from Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that. Even before that, he comes and he offers himself publicly to serve the Father, and to do what is necessary for our salvation. I want to share with you this morning two specific purposes of his baptism. One, to declare his identity. Jesus had lived approximately 30 years already. He was going to live another 3 years in his public ministry. And he comes basically out of obscurity. Certainly there were those who knew him and knew there was something special about him. He had that incident as a 12-year-old, and he shined, he stood out, and people took notice. But we don't have any other record of those astounding things in Jesus' life. Basically, he's going to step out of obscurity onto the scene and honor God and bring glory to God in a special way. He came to declare his identity. His baptism is his launching pad, his beginning point. And by the way, this will be obvious, but notice in these verses a very clear reference to the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the baptism of Jesus, all are present and all are active. His baptism is his opportunity to declare his identity, first of all, with the Holy Spirit. And there's two things here. There's the Spirit's appearance as a dove. Notice with me again. Verse 10. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending, coming down bodily visibly upon him like a dove. And that is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The dove is a very harmless, gentle, and pure animal. It's a very positive thing. It's a symbol of peace. We see Noah releasing the dove after the flood, showing that God has ended his condemnation, his judgment on the people for their sin. A whole new era, a whole new day is beginning, and the dove symbolizes that, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The dove was called, quote-unquote, a bird of sacrifice. It was for the poor people who couldn't afford a lamb or a more significant animal. They would offer a dove. The Spirit, in the form of a dove, descended on Jesus. Jesus and John, at least, saw it. I'd like to believe everyone there saw it. There's something special about Jesus because the Spirit of God came and lit upon him, came and rested upon him. The Spirit of God had a very special relationship with Jesus. Secondly, the Spirit's anointing of Jesus. Anointing just simply means the rubbing of an oil or ointment on a person or a thing to set them apart, to recognize their consecration, to recognize that they are going to be used by God in a special way. For example, in the temple furnishings, which were very significant in their worship, they were anointed. The priests, the kings, the prophets themselves, the leaders of Israel were anointed. Remember David, when he was called out by Samuel among his brothers. Samuel anointed him with oil, recognizing that he was the called, future called king of Israel. The anointed were chosen, appointed, and consecrated. Jesus was anointed. It takes nothing away from who he was in and of himself. He was the Son of God. But in his humanity, he relied on the ministry and the filling and the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' testimony in this passage is the Spirit of the Lord, rather than that in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Indeed, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. That was essential, natural, practical. And I would even dare say, just to make a little bit of an application, we as God's people are exhorted and commanded in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll encourage you today, and this is an obvious truth, but it's an important truth, and it's true in everything. Jesus is our example. He calls upon us to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be empowered by the Spirit of God, to serve Him, love Him, be changed by Him. And Jesus Himself models for us the filling of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He also declared His identity with the Father. This is very simple but very profound. Jesus' baptism was an indication of giving His will up for the Father. The voice from heaven. What was the testimony of the Father? Again, I believe for everyone to hear, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I love that. The Father gave testimony of His pleasure. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. He also came to declare His identity with humanity, with humility and condescension, with His own people, Israel, with the entire human race, by the way. When Jesus was incarnated, when He put on flesh, when He was born in Bethlehem, He became one of us. And Philippians 2 says that was a tremendous experience of condescension and humiliation. He humbled Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant, human flesh. Jesus humbled Himself in becoming one of us and identifying with us. He identified with His little village, Nazareth, in which He was from, which of course was insignificant, and even a despised village. Everybody would say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, something wonderful and divine came out of Nazareth. John the Baptist understood his own place before Jesus. Jesus came and essentially said, baptize me. John said, no, I have need of you baptizing me. You're the great one. I'm the low one. It showed Jesus for who He was. And Jesus' testimony at His baptism was essential and ultimately, I am here for you. This is the beginning of His ministry. He sets it in perspective. He says from the beginning what it's all about. I've come in this body. I've come in this life. And I'm here for you. God the Father is testifying of who I am and what I will do. I am here for you to take care of your sins. I've become one of you in the flesh to become one of you spiritually and accomplish God's salvation. We read a moment ago in the early verses of this passage that this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is indeed about the gospel. Secondly, Jesus' baptism is to demonstrate His intention. It had to do with His identity. It has to do with His intention. Three intentions, three commitments of Jesus associated with His baptism. Number one, simply to do the right thing. He puts it this way, to fulfill righteousness, to accomplish a very specific practical act of righteousness, doing the right thing. I was amused and I thought it was good when I read a commentator say that Jesus was wet and well-pleasing. I hope when we're baptized, we're not just wet. And Jesus wasn't just wet when He went down and came up in the water. He was well-pleasing to the Father. Again, the Father's testimony. Three times recorded in the Gospels is, this is my Son in whom I am well-pleased. I came across in my study and research the phrase, the pleasure principle. Now that may mean something to some of you. I learned as I was reading that that is a song title of Janet Jackson. Any of y'all know that? I didn't know that. That's not what I was looking for when I was researching that. But it's the truth. It's about receiving pleasure from a relationship. A selfish thing. Not what you can give, but what you can get is what Janet Jackson's song is all about. But it's just reverse for Jesus. It was a pleasure thing for Him to please the Father. And we also, I hope every one of us who are believers today have already been baptized. If not, perhaps the Spirit of God will convict you of that and lead you to do that. I can see that being the case. I encourage you and urge you to do that. I hope we all are, as believers today, also baptized. But let me tell you, if you are, or if you need to be, it's a matter of pleasing God. If you follow the believer's baptism, knowing Jesus has become your Savior and Lord, trusting Him and turning to Him and away from sin, that is a pleasing thing to God. Sometimes we wonder, how can I know that I please God? Well, baptism is often said to be the first act of obedience. The first thing God asks us to do as a believer, and it pleases Him. And Jesus' own baptism, because of all it meant and all it would lead to, honored and pleased the Father. And then thirdly, Jesus was demonstrating His intention to be the Savior. This was Jesus' first step to the cross. Now, baptism, if you want to understand baptism, understand this. It's about death. It's about life, but to begin with, it's about death. Baptism is being buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And even Jesus, in His baptism, was symbolizing and pointing to the day when He would die physically and die spiritually for our sins, that we might be born again. It was all about His being Savior and what was necessary for that. I would dare say, think about it. If there was no baptism, there would be no mission of Christ. If there's no mission of Christ, there'd been no ministry. If there'd been no ministry, there'd been no perfect life. If no perfect life, no crucifixion, no crucifixion, no resurrection. And if no resurrection, no salvation. It all begins with the baptism of Jesus Christ. It's a critical time in His life. His first step of His mission to becoming our Savior. I want to share a couple things as we close. I want to ask you a question, number one. What do you see personally in the baptism of Jesus? Maybe because of what we said already this morning. Maybe because of what you've understood before. What do you see in the baptism of Jesus? Let me suggest four things. Number one, the purpose of Jesus. This is why He came. Yes, He was going to do all the rest. And without His crucifixion and resurrection, it would be nothing. But it begins with His baptism. He came. He was on mission. This is the first step. Secondly, the person of Jesus. Because of who He was. He was the Son of God. The second person of the Trinity. Equal with the Father. Equal with the Spirit. Having the same glory and essential character and nature. But Jesus became man. It's all about the person of Jesus. Who He was and what He did. Thirdly, and I love this, the passion of Jesus. I think one of the things we miss by not living in His day, not that the Word and the ministry of the Spirit can't make up for it and make it very real and personal, and yet we just don't see with our eyes, and we don't visualize who and what Jesus did, how He looked in every aspect of His life. I would have loved to have seen the passion of Jesus. I've known a lot of passionate people in my life. I feel rather passionate sometimes myself. But I would love to see Jesus move with passion. You see the passion. I know it seems kind of commonplace and all that urgent at this time. Jesus simply comes to John and says, baptize me. And when John rebels, actually, he says, you must permit it to fulfill righteousness. Jesus was passionate about everything in His life. We see finally the power of Jesus to truly save and change us. I hope that's your testimony today. Yes, you trusted Him. Yes, you know Him. Yes, you love and serve Him. But He's changing your mind, changing who you are inside out. That's the power of Jesus. That's the saving, life-changing power of Jesus. It began with his baptism. Now let me share a final three experiences I think we ought to have in relationship to the baptism of Jesus Christ. Number one, we should be reflective. Might want to say we should be more reflective of our relationship with Jesus. Who he is, what he is to us, and our identity with him and in him. All that he means for us. And this is true with so much in his life, everything in his life. But it's even true of his baptism. Reflect on the baptism of Jesus. When he comes on the scene, when he just immediately after says, the Spirit of God is upon me, he's anointed me, but he's already gone down in the water and identified himself as a servant of God. That's a powerful thing to reflect on. It began there. And I hope our baptism, the day we stand up publicly and say, I belong to Jesus, he's my Lord and Savior, I love him, I belong to him. Hopefully, that is a commitment that honors and glorifies the Lord as well. Secondly, we should be more intentional in our relationship with Jesus. Can I confess to you today, and I would imagine it's true in all of our lives, we're just not intentional enough when it comes to living with Jesus. And all that's involved in it, all that requires of us, all that we need to be doing and thinking and feeling and praying about and everything else is intentional. We probably don't intend to live out our day and not do the things that we know honor and glorify God. But we fail to make the intention and the commitment and the prayer and the seeking of God to do it earlier to see it done. We should be more intentional even about the baptism of Christ and what it means for us. We are connected to him. He is to be changing our lives. And thirdly and finally, we should be more accountable in our relationship with Christ. It's easy to be a little bit sensitive and a little bit aware of what we need to do and say, oh, that's not such a big deal. Have you ever felt God urge you? You just knew God was speaking to you to do something. It may have been to witness. It may have been to give. It may have been to do a specific act of service. And you go, I don't think I'll do that. It's because we don't hold ourselves accountable to the Lord. The baptism of Jesus reminds us we are connected to him, even in this life, and we need to be accountable in our relationship with him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just where you are. I truly trust and hope and pray and for the most part believe that every one of us here has already trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, and follow him in believer's baptism. But if not, in either case, receive the witness of the Spirit of God and the conviction and the moving of the Spirit of God and respond to him today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. God, help us to see you, O Lord, and appreciate who you are and what you've done, even in our own lives. Lord, we thank you that you were obedient to the Father, that you pleased him, that you honored and glorified him, submitted yourself, gave yourself to him for his purpose and to accomplish his will. And Lord, that is our salvation. We thank you for that. Help us to be as faithful to you. You are our example. You're our model of following the Father, of pleasing God and serving and doing what he leads us to do. May we be faithful as well. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand together, do you have a public decision to make for Christ? Then come as we sing, as we all stand. Charlie will lead us. Michael will be out the door in a few moments and be receiving as you give. Just respond to the Lord as we sing.